Psalm 106. If you have your Bibles tonight, Psalm 106. Entering into that time of year where Thanksgiving's just right around the corner. So periodically, here over the next little while, going to be looking at different things about thanks and thanksgiving and praise, things like that. Tonight we'll be in Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to launch from tonight. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. Tonight will probably be a little shorter. I have probably, per my word count, about close to 1,000 words less than what I would normally have. But we'll see what happens tonight. But Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Lord, as we come before you, thank you once again for this opportunity to gather in your house. And I thank you, Lord, once again for your people here tonight. As we were reminded a couple weeks ago, in the message of David's review of God, David's review of you is that you're a good God. And tonight, we ought to be thankful for your goodness. And that's what we're looking at. And I just ask you, Lord, just to bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, we're going to be looking at thankfulness. And if you remember, we looked some time ago at David's review of God. And David's review of God is that God is good. And now David's telling us to be thankful for God's goodness. You should also be reminded that to thank him for his goodness, that he so freely bestows on us. His goodness displayed in creating us while knowing who we would be. What we would do, and I've used this illustration many a times. If we were getting ready to design something, we were getting ready to create it, and we knew ahead of time that it was going to be problem-filled, that it would not go out according to plan. It just wouldn't be played out like we thought it would. We probably wouldn't do it. We just go ahead and scratch the whole thing together. But I tell you what, it is humbling when you think about the fact that God knew who you'd be. He knew who I would be. He knew what I would do. He knew the things that I would go and the places I'd go and the things that I would say throughout my whole lifetime. He knew all that. He knew that I'd walk away from him. He knew I'd trust him at a young age. He knew I'd go back and forth throughout my teen years, trying to do right and then trying to do wrong. He knew I'd ultimately run from him in his call on my life. He knew all of that. But yet he created me to begin with. Knowing how long it takes some of us to get saved, he still created us. Knowing some of us after being saved, we'd run from him. He still created us. His goodness displayed in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. His goodness is displayed with his nurturing sanctification. Now you think about that. We're not too patient at times. I'm not too patient with myself and my own shortcomings at times. And I'm also not too patient at times with the shortcomings of others, especially when I've been trying to nurture, trying to grow up, so to speak, spiritually, and trying to help develop someone spiritually. At times it's tough to see where it seems like it's not doing anything. But God's goodness is displayed in his nurturing sanctification, which means you think about the process of sanctification. The process of sanctification is fall, get back up, fall, get back up, fall, get back up, fall, get back up. We give something to God, we take it back. We give something to God, we take it back. We give it to him again, and then we take it back again. I mean, this is the process of sanctification, and it's a good God that is there to help you get back up every time you fall. That's a good God. Now, sanctification, though at times it's painful, but a good God performs sanctification in love out of his sheer goodness. But he's good to us also in that we aren't who we used to be. So although the process of sanctification can be hard, it's painful. And you think about the word purging. And you think about when you're purging a bush or a tree or something. If that tree or bush had feelings, that's going to hurt. It would. It would hurt. And you think about sanctification in our lives. And you think about when God is removing something from us. Sanctification can be painful. But the good side of it is that you can look up one day and realize you're not who you used to be because of sanctification, because of what God has been doing in your life, thanks to the work of sanctification. It also means you don't have the problems that you used to have prior to the degree of sanctification that you have now. His goodness is displayed also in the strength that we have today, which causes us to also not have the same defeats through spiritual weakness that we were at one time accustomed to. His goodness in that he provides for our needs, even some wants and desires, so long as they don't interfere with his will. His ever-present indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We think about the Word of God that we can hold in our hands. The breath of life, this building to gather in. One another to gather with, a pastor to lead, singers to sing, instrumentalists to play, voices to sing, voices to pray, ears to hear, eyes to see. God's been good. But we got to be reminded to be thankful. One theologian once said, gratitude is the return justly required from the objects of his beneficence. Yet it is often withheld from our great benefactor simply because his goodness is so constant. And so abundant, it is lightly esteemed because it is exercised towards us in the common course of events. It is not felt because we daily experience it. Now you think about this. Basically, what this theologian is saying is that because God is so good to us so often, if we're not careful, we become less thankful because we're just accustomed to a good God. Now, I think about this, and I try to combat this even in our home, even when it comes to my wife. And I try to make sure that my boys don't take their mom for granted. She brings me a cup of coffee, I say thank you. She puts something in front of us at the table, we say thank you. At some point throughout the meal, over the food that she's made, we say thank you. And she says thank you to me about stuff. I mean, I think it's just good manners to say thank you to people when they do something for you. I think it's good manners. But also, if we're not careful, we will take people for granted. Now, I cannot tell you all the ways that my wife is good to me. And I don't want to take it for granted. So I want to thank her. I want to thank her for what she does. And she's appreciative of us. And I'm trying to teach my boys to say thank you. Thank you to your mom. I don't know about you, but every morning I wake up, I just know it. I expect it. I've seen it time and time again. God is going to do something. God is going to bless in some way. God is going to show his hand in some way, and the danger therein lies that we take God's blessings while failing to truly be impacted by his goodness, resulting in a heart of ingratitude. So with the goodness that we've been reminded of, let's thank him for that goodness. I trust you're amazed by the goodness of God, but the devil in a short amount of time seeks to interfere with your amazement of God if you allow it. I think about the hymn, I Stand Amazed. It says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me, it was in the garden. He prayed not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own and bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. You can't get away from a few themes in this great hymn. For one, Christ was more concerned about you and I than himself. Christ took our sins and our burdens to Calvary, not his sins and his burdens. Christ suffered and died alone so we could have peace, so we could have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and a promise that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And because of that, we can stand amazed. Because of God's goodness, we have Psalm 106:1, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Notice in be ye thankful, ye is plurality. So it's written to the church in Colossae by Paul. Thankful, by definition, means grateful, impressed with a sense of kindness received, and ready to acknowledge it. So grateful, impressed, and then again, lastly, is ready to acknowledge it. When your gratefulness reaches the point, a certain point in your heart, you're going to express it. However, when blessings become run of the mill, when you expect it, but don't have a heart of gratitude, when you're plagued with entitlement, then this is when we'll also suffer in the gratitude department. And we see this today where entitlement plagues society. Just entitlement. Most people, seems like, and I've not been around here long enough, but most people seem like, from where we were at least, most people don't even say thank you now. When you hold the door open. Now, I didn't hold the door open to get a thank you. I held the door open because I didn't want the door to slam in the face of the person that's coming behind me. It's just being polite, you know, being respectful. Or it's a lady, and I still think men should hold the door open for ladies. I still believe that. And whether or not they say thank you or not. But because you don't do it for that. It seems like... even you're driving through the crosswalk at Walmart. And again, I don't know what it's like around here that much, but you stop for them at the crosswalk. No wave to essentially say thank you for stopping for me to walk across. But many have this entitled attitude. And a person that has an entitled attitude, I guarantee you, has that same attitude with God. Because when you get with God, he'll give you a heart of gratitude. So because God is good, I encourage you, let's thank him for it. Let's also thank him and praise him and brag on him to our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. You know, most times in Scripture, when someone received a portion of God's goodness in the form of physical or spiritual healing, part of their praise to God was praising God before men. But primarily, the praise was directed to him. Got 10 biblical examples here, real quick. One was Miriam. Miriam, the older sister of Moses and Aaron, gave thanks to God while playing her tambourine and dancing with joy with the other women whom God saved from the Egyptians after they crossed over the Red Sea. That's Exodus 15, 20 and 21. You see, Hannah. Hannah gave a long prayer of thanks to God in 1 Samuel 2 because God granted her petition for a son. We think of David. David gave thanks to God after winning his battle against the Philistines in 2 Samuel 22. 1 through 51. 21, we think of King Solomon. King Solomon thanked God for all he had done to provide for Israel in his prayer of dedication for the temple in 1 Kings 8 and 14 through 21. Then the author of Psalm 111, the author of this beloved psalm, begins with the following words, "Praise ye the Lord. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." And Psalm 111 is filled with praise for God's wondrous works. The psalmist ends by reminding people that God's praise endureth forever. That means forever. All up in heaven, we're still going to be praising because God's praise is going to endure forever. And number six is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, was thankful that God took away her reproach among the people of Israel in Luke 24 through 25. Before becoming pregnant with John, Elizabeth was barren and long beyond childbearing age. Number seven is Mary. In a beautiful song of praise, gave thanks to the Lord for being chosen to bear the incarnate Son of God in Luke 1, 46 through 55. Number eight is Jesus. Jesus gave thanks to God before distributing the bread and fish to 5,000 who came to hear him teach in John 6:11. Think about this. Who was Jesus thanking? He was thanking the Father. The Father used a little boy to bring a lunch, and Jesus expressed gratitude to the Father for that. And then number nine, the leper whom Jesus healed. 10 lepers came to Jesus and asked him to heal them. Jesus sent them to the priest, and they were all healed along the way. Only one of the 10 healed people returned to thank Jesus, and that person was not even a Jew. He was a Samaritan who was considered to be a foreigner in Israel's sight. That's Luke 17, 11 through 19. And then lastly, Paul. Paul gave thanks to God for the believers in Philippi because of their partnership with him in the gospel. Philippians 1, 3 through 11. We see a lot of gratitude throughout the scriptures. We could keep going on from here. Just a ton of gratitude to God and for what God has done. They praised God. They were thankful for his marvelous works in their lives. And as we referenced earlier, you can also praise him with a changed life before men. We praise him with a changed heart and outlook. We praise with our lips before men. There are many ways to praise God. You think about even the animals. The animals praise God. Trees, plants, all those things, they praise God. They bring glory to God. How do they do that? By doing what God designed them to do. And I think about this sometimes, even while I'm out. I've been out before in a hunting stand, and I see everything else crawling around except for what I'm hunting after. And but I get to watching them sometimes. And I get to why up. I haven't seen them much around here, but I'd see the chipmunks up there. They'd be running around and stuff on the ground. And then I'd see the squirrels. They're out there, out scrunching around for food and stuff. Or the coon going back to his tree after a long night, and stuff. But like I said, everything but what I was going after. But you see these critters, and when you think about the fact that, you know, they're praising God. Doing what they're doing. They're bringing glory to God by just doing what God has created them and designed them to do and to be. But we think about that. Psalm 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." So why give thanks? For he is good. And I encourage you, don't ever base God's goodness on what you perceive your circumstances to be. When you do that, you will doubt God's goodness. And God's goodness is based on the fact that he's good, and he's good all the time. And he cannot be anything else. Just praise him for being good. In Psalm 106, 1 and 2, again, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Lastly, in verse 2, "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?" David asked a question, who can? Nobody. Nobody but God. David's saying, who can speak it? Who can know it? Who could even measure how good God is? Nobody. Only God knows what all his mighty acts are. Only God can show forth all his praise. We'll all fall short. We don't even know what all good God's done for us. We don't remember it all. And then some of the stuff we never knew about to begin with. So how could you know about what you never knew about to begin with? Because the Lord took care of it before you ever knew you were in need of it. It's impossible. And if I can't keep track of all the good God's done for me, I can't keep track of all the good God's done for you. And just in the time, I mean, you think about it, even what the Word says, I mean, there wouldn't be a book able to contain all that could have been revealed. So again, we would all fall short. Even if we didn't fall short at seeing what all God has done for us, we'd fall short at telling others what all God has done for us, but also praising God for his wondrous works in our life. We got to do that. So again, lastly, Psalm 106, 1 and 2, praise ye the Lord. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?